Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 183. It's all for real now, folks. The preseason is over, and although we've had some preliminary League Cup matches that obviously counted, now things really begin to count. We had our first big match in Portugal with the Super Cup, with Benfica defeating Porto. And obviously there was a lot of controversy in it. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We got the first and second division beginning their first matches this weekend. The day I dropped this, Braga will kick it off with Família Cão. I'll give you a bit of a preview about that for this weekend. We got Liga news across the spectrum of all the teams. I've got some updates from you, including one club that has 10 players from a club in Denmark. Wait till I tell you the story. Big Four report. Should I call it a Big Four report? I know Braga's not the size of the other big three, but they are contending and they are competing. Love to know your thoughts about that, but for now, I'm going to say Big Four report. But if you think I shouldn't say it, please let me know. I'd love to hear your opinions. The weekly player and manager abroad, Chico Conceição. Does he want to leave Ajax? Well, looks like that might be the case. I've got listener comments, particularly a great one on somebody who went to see a game in Caldas da Rainha. Great story that I want to tell you about. I'm going to read you the DM that he sent to me on Twitter. And then we'll have an update on my favorite team in Portugal in the fifth tier, and that's Athletico dos Arcos. And at the end of this episode, I will make an announcement of where I'm going to be recording my episode next week. And I can't wait to tell you that because it's been a long time coming. But let me start off first with the Super Cup controversy. Again, congratulations to Benfica. They won their 85th trophy in Portugal. Them and Porto were tied at 84 going into Wednesday night's match. And at the end of the day, Benfica won, and they now have 85 trophies in Portugal. Porto only have 84. It is Benfica's ninth Super Cup trophy. And obviously for Roger Schmidt, it is his second trophy as a manager after winning the Liga last season. And now he could add the Super Cup. And we had a lot of, we had a lot of controversy. We saw the referee give out something like 11, 12 yellows. We saw Pep get sent off and then take off his jersey and show it to the Benfica crowd because they were giving him a hard time and that was his way of getting back at them. A few minutes after that, we saw Sergio Conceição being sent off and then chaos as he would not leave the sideline. Eventually he did when the referee came over because he wanted to talk to the referee before he left. But that became a whole home scene. And look, it was great television. I'm so glad that RTP International, RTP in Portugal broadcasted it. But for the international audience, a lot of people I know have RTP or you could have watched it on their website. I understand that some places you were able to do that, watching it on RTP's website. But it was great. It had your football. It had the emotions. Porto started off stronger. Benfica was just better in the second half. And then, of course, you had your controversies. And, you know, let me tell you, Portugal, the Liga Portugal, they are going to start to do the centralization of TV rights. They created a company that's going to be marketing these rights and basically bringing in the deals. And let me tell you something. Whoever's doing that and working in the sales department at this new company that's created by the Liga and the clubs, you know, you have what goes on in the pitch, and then you have all the amazing stuff that happens off the pitch, the accusations, players getting sent off, getting upset, managers screaming and not getting off the pitch. You know, in Portugal, there's a storyline on the pitch and there's a storyline off of it. And I got to tell you that whether you agree with this comment or not, and obviously we're not talking about violence, of course, but when it comes to human nature, human emotion, when it comes to incredible talent, I really hope that they promote not only the Liga Portugal being a great league, but because there's just a lot of storylines that would make people want to watch this match. Di Maria coming back to Benfica and scoring a goal. I hope they do their job marketing because there's always a lot of storylines. And look, football is supposed to be about what happens on the pitch, but Portugal sometimes could be like wrestling where there's as much of a show on the pitch to what goes on off the pitch, especially during the week with accusations and insults and people being suspended, but then everybody knowing it's going to be lifted when Todd accepts it and pushing the suspension into the future. There's always a lot of storylines in Portugal, and it makes for a very interesting Portuguese. And I'm just glad that RTP broadcast it, because if you're a regular follower on this podcast, you know that I've complained in the past that when RTP doesn't show it, that means it doesn't get broadcast on RTP International. And then when it's been broadcast on SIC or TVI, the Taça de Portugal or the Super Cup, which is owned by the Federation, a lot of people can't watch it outside of Portugal. I've complained about this so many times. I'm hearing people complain about this now. I was talking about this 2 years ago. I'm sorry to have to say that again. But it was just great television. And again, Benfica wins it, and they head into this weekend now, already winning the first trophy of the season. Obviously, the other big thing that I want to talk about, and by the way, I got to also say quickly, Roger Schmidt, back in 2016, I saw this on social media. ESPN reported this, so that's why I'm going with it. They had a graphic about how, yeah, Conceição did it, and he didn't want to come off the pitch. But Roger Schmidt did something similar today, where he wouldn't come off after being sent off, and there was a big problem in Holland, or in Germany, excuse me. He sort of did the same thing in 2016. I just thought that was pretty funny. Quick word on Braga and Arouca. Braga, great result at home, winning 3-0. Again, Serbian teams are tough. We can't let our guard down going next week into Serbia. But I think if you're a Braga, you just got to feel good. But now you got to close it out. You'll be playing the winner. And by the way, that is so difficult. Panathinaikos or Marseille, two clubs with huge following, two clubs that are among the biggest clubs in their respective country. Panathinaikos won the first leg 1-0. So we'll see. But Braga in very good position. Bruma, does he deserve a call up to the national team? Keeps playing like this. I think he will. We'll see. Certainly, the way he's playing, and you never hear about Jota, who ever since he's been to Saudi Arabia, I haven't heard anything about. I could definitely see where that might be benefiting Bruma. Yeah, so a great result for Braga. Arouca had it up 2-0 heading into the 80th minute, but they did allow a goal. And I said it last week, Norway is going to be tough. Norwegian teams are tough. You know, again, when you're the Portuguese team and you're the fifth, sixth place team playing in Europa, you're usually playing the second or third place team in one of these other countries. And as we've seen with Norway, they play some good football. So it's a good result at home. We saw two Portuguese teams win. That only could help our coefficient after the disappointment with Vitória Guimarães last week. But 2-0 would have been better. They're still ahead. Obviously, away goals mean nothing anymore with the, you know, obviously with the UEFA rules that changed 2 years ago. But it keeps it interesting, and Arouca has a lot of work to do to try to advance to the playoff again. No Portuguese team in this new competition of the Europa Conference League, which I think is in its third season, no Portuguese team has ever qualified for the group stage. And because, as I've said many times, because Europa, the Champions League, and the Europa Conference, all the points are worth the same, we got to get a Portuguese team because we can't go into group play with only four of our six teams playing, whereas other countries like Holland have five or six. And that's a big reason why I think we've dropped the way we have and have been overtaken by countries like France and Holland. So it's something for us to think about, especially because remember, in this season, only two teams go to the Champions League, not three like last year. We lost a spot, and I think that's kind of very important. And I believe this year the Champions League spot, first winner goes automatically, whereas the second still has to go through the playoffs. So winning the Liga this year is also very, very important. So anyway, good first leg result, but it's still not over, and there's still a lot to play for, especially if you're in the case of Arouca. Liga BetClick. No more Liga Bwin. Liga BetClick, we get going. Everything begins on Friday night. Braga, of course, playing because they've got their second leg in Serbia next week. They'll be at home to Família Cone at 2015, the day this episode drops. And by the way, congratulations to Braga. When they did beat that Serbian team, they had over 22,000 fans in attendance. Fantastic, fantastic crowd. Braga needs to get their crowds into the 20s, 20,000s, to try to compete with Guimarães, because Guimarães tends to get those crowds regularly, especially for the big matches. but a good job by Braga. But Braga kicks off the season. Then you've got three matches on Saturday with Gil Vicente, Portimonense, Feirense, newly promoted from the Algarve, playing Casa Pia. And then the first big three in action is going to be on Saturday night, Sporting taking on Vizela. And by the way, this is the RTP International match, in case you wondered. And then on Sunday, you've got three matches. Rio Ave, Chaves, Estrela Amadora, newly promoted, will take on Vitória Guimarães. Vitória looking to bounce back after being eliminated from Europa Conference. And then it all ends on Sunday night with Arouca playing Estoril Praia. And then Monday, you've got Moreirense, Porto, Boa Vista, Benfica. These, by the way, if you're asking me for the highlight match of the week, I'm going to go with Boa Vista, Benfica. Although I think Moreirense, Porto is just as good of a match. But Boa Vista had some disappointment getting knocked out of the League Cup. A lot of motivation. Benfica coming up north to Porto to play against Boa Vista. The Monday night matches, and by the way, why are they playing Monday night? Because obviously they just played midweek on Wednesday. That's why they're playing on Monday. And that's going to be your two good matches. And again, I think it's Boa Vista, Benfica, but I think an argument could be made that Moreirense, newly promoted, this is not the same team last year that won by something like 20 points, the second division, and set the record. I always tell you the biggest problem with Portuguese clubs, and there's a reason for it, it's financial reason. I understand. It's understood. But the problem is you can't talk about last year's team and bring it into this year's, because a lot of times, of course, as I've said many times, the clubs change. So really looking forward to the first week of the season. And, of course, I'll be Twitter, Threads. Do people even do Threads anymore? Instagram, you know where to find it. I'll be following that all along. And then the second division also starts. Everything gets going on Saturday. Passos de Ferreira against Leiria. This is the match that I'm calling the highlight match for match day one. Passos de Ferreira, of course, relegated, but still a very strong team for the second division. Leiria coming over from the third division. Can't wait to see some how big their crowds are in Leiria. I'm predicting that this is going to be the best match of match day one in the second division. You got three matches on Saturday with, of course, Passos Leiria. Nacional, Marítimo, right off the bat, you have yourself a derby. Usually I would say that this would be a great match to watch, but Nacional is not very strong, although they did great in the Taça de Portugal last year. Marítimo has lost a lot of players. And that's why I just don't think I'm. That's why I'm not picking the Madeira Derby as my best match. And then of course the AVS, used to be Aves, will be taking on Belenenses. Let's pay attention to Belenenses to see this year if they are able to make it to the first division. You've got four matches on Sunday: FC Porto B versus Tunela, and you got Académico do Viseu against one of my favorite teams in the second division because of me and you. Of course, that's where I'm from and my family. Lenk, Vilaverdense, and those matches are both at 1100 hours. You got Penafiel against Leixões. And then Benfica B and the Seychelles will be playing Mafra. And then everything wraps up. And then there's a little bit of a break from match day one. No matches on Monday, probably because of the fact that Benfica and Porto have their matches that night. And then on Tuesday, which is a holiday in Portugal, Olivarense from the suburbs of Porto will be playing Feirense, a battle of two clubs up north. 11 a.m. match on a Tuesday, believe it or not. But again, it's the holiday of the Assumption, if I recall. And that's the holiday on a Tuesday. And then Wednesday, and I don't know why this match is being played on Wednesday. You have Santa Clara will finish match day one, taking my other favorite team from Torres Vedras. And of course, that is Turiense. And they are going to be playing this on Wednesday night. Again, I have no reason. I don't understand. It can't be because of the holidays. They could have played on Saturday, but Santa Clara, Turiense, and that'll be a match. Actually, it's going to be on the big channel in Portugal, Sport TV 1. Let me move along here. Very quickly talking about the Liga as a whole. It's just a few notes. First off, a lot of criticisms of the Liga. They've already announced their second and third match day, and apparently there are still a number of matches being played after 2,100 hours. That has upset a lot of people in Portugal because there was supposed to be this big campaign, especially in the second and third match day, from what I've been told, that they were going to try to reduce matches being played as late as possible. And some people are frustrated because that doesn't necessarily happen. Check this out about Mafra. They have 10 players from a Danish club called Midtjylland. If you remember last year, Medellin had a player named Diomond, who eventually was sold, of course, to Sporting in the January transfer window. So there's something like 10 players from this Danish club at Mafra. Look, if you're this Danish club and you just made some good money off of Diomond, and you might even make more money off of him in the future because they still have a percentage, yeah, why not? Let's send 10 players to go and develop in Portugal, even though we are one of the biggest clubs in Denmark. So I found that to be fascinating. Other news in the Liga, throughout the Liga, not just Big Three, Ivan Jaime, who is supposed to, some people say, is one of the better young prospects for a big club to get among the smaller clubs in Portugal. Last week, if you remember, I had basically mentioned that because of all the transfer rumors around him, he wanted to clear his head. He is not playing, and the manager, Souza, was asked and said that he's not into it right now, that he's not ready to play, and that it's an issue between Ivan and the club. Look, if he doesn't play this weekend, that's a big blow for Fama. This kid is typical of a lot of the players that come to Portugal. They want to come to Portugal. They want to play their 2 years or 3 years, and then they want to make the jump to a bigger club. That's the way it goes, and I think we might be seeing something like that here. On the other hand, though, we want to make sure the kid is in good shape, in good health, and that he understands that, unfortunately, this is life to be in Portugal. Look, Família Kong has made $40 million since they got promoted 5 years ago in selling players. They know what they're doing. What they will do with this, I don't know. But obviously, if they haven't sold them yet, it's, you know, there's been Porto interest. But obviously, they probably haven't gotten the type of money that they have wanted from him. Otherwise, I think he would have been sold by now. Talking about players abroad, congratulations. We're going to have in the final of the Arab Club Champions Cup, we got ourselves a bit of Portuguese taste in this Middle East big club competition. Cristiano Ronaldo and Luis Castro advanced to the final, and they will be playing against Al Hilal, which features Ruben Neves and Jorge Jesus. So right off the bat, a lot of interest with two of the bigger clubs in Saudi Arabia, Portuguese flavor. Congratulations to them, but only two of those Portuguese. Whether either one is going to win the first big trophy in the Middle East. Chico Conceição, remember last year, he surprised a lot of people going to Ajax. A lot of people were upset because he didn't stay and Porto wasn't able to get the money that they thought they should have gotten, and this upset a lot of Porto fans. Well, he went to Ajax. There is a report in a Dutch paper that he hasn't adapted well and that he wants to leave. Interesting to see what happens. But again, that's a tough situation for the kid like Ivan Jaime, where you have a contract, your club controls the rights, as I understand it, and he's going to try to force a move. But I'm sure Ajax wanted to make money out of him. That's probably the reason why they got him. So the math, remember I talked about the math with João Felix? You know, you can't buy João Felix for $120 million, $126 million, and then if you're not happy 3 years later, João will let you leave. There's math involved here with money, and unfortunately, that always plays a factor. Hey, you're going to spend $20,000 on a car and then after 2 years get rid of it because you don't like the color? No, you're going to probably run it to the ground, or you're going to try to sell it and make good money. You're not going to give it away, even people want you to give away. I don't know if that analogy fits, but... And then I'll wrap up the first part of this, first half of this episode. Congratulations to young Portuguese manager Antonio Oliveira. He was elected the best manager of Brazil. He's with Cuba in Brazil, and he was elected the best manager of Brazil, helping his club near the top. He was at another club in Brazil, was let go, but he's managed to find a home with this new club, and he seems to do very, very well. So good job by Antonio Oliveira. And that wraps up part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, episode 183. Welcome back. I always like to take this opportunity to say thank you for listening, whether it's for 10 minutes, whether it's for the entire episode of 40, 45 minutes, whatever it may be. I just want to say thank you for taking time. I know that everybody's time is valuable. And again, as I always say, if you want to support this podcast, please give it a follow on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. It's on all the major platforms. It's also the audio. I put it up as well on YouTube. And of course, you could also listen to it on PortugueseSoccer.com through the Spotify embed. And again, I want to say thank you. And the best way to support the efforts here is by following not only the podcast, but of course on social media. And I've been very happy The numbers are just awesome. It's the reason why I continue to do it as consistently as I do. And seriously, obrigado. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your week every week. And if you're brand new, thank you for coming, and I hope you stick around. Let's talk a little bit. I'm going to start off with the Big Three report. And obviously, I'm going to start off with Braga. Zep Azedu, who used to manage Braga. Of course, he's the manager of the Nigerian national team. And I don't know if he's still there, because I thought I remember a few months ago talking about how Nigerians could, through a phone vote, call in where they would be charged, I guess, a certain amount of money. And they were doing that to help raise money for the Nigerian Federation. I'm not sure if Zep Azedu is still there. I think he is. But Zep Azedu came out this week. And, of course, again, he managed Braga at one time. He won a League Cup with them, by the way. He basically thinks that Braga is ready to compete for the Liga. He thinks all the moves they have made to not only qualify for the Champions League puts them into this position. I have no doubt that Braga will have an opportunity to compete. The question for Braga, even if all these players pan out, and I think they've made some of the best moves in Europe, without a doubt, they've been one of the better teams in Europe with some of the moves they made, along, in my opinion, with Benfica in terms of Portuguese clubs. But the question, you know, with a club like Braga is, when you get to October and you're playing the Liga schedule, and the Taça de Portugal, kind of, I believe, if I recall, starts at that time, and then you're also playing in the Champions League, can they handle all that? I talked about that with Sporting last year, when Sporting sold their best, better players. Could they handle the daily week of the Liga, the League Cup, the Taça de Portugal, and playing in Europe? And we saw last year that it didn't quite work out, because obviously Sporting fell behind. And that's the question for Braga. Do they have the stamina, and manager, does Arthur Jorge have the stamina for his club to keep this club alive from the start of September through May, when it really counts the most? And I think that's the biggest question to ask with Braga. So I agree with Zep Azedu. They are going to compete. Whether or not they'll be able to compete and win a title by the time we come to the season, we'll see. But you know what? Bruma is fantastic. Again, I think he deserves a call-up to the national team. Braga is growing. Should I call them Big Four? Am I being silly? I remember a few years ago I tried to do that and people got upset at me. But I think Braga has developed a little bit of a pedigree if they make the Champions League. Should I say Big Four whenever I promote this podcast and I talk about the bigger clubs instead of saying Big Three and Braga? If you think I'm dumb, and some of you do, some of you do, let me know, because I'm just trying to, you know, entertain comments. But let me know your thoughts. Moving on here to the Big Four report. Sporting, there was a story, I think it was in the Record, that said that Sporting rejected $30 million from Leverkusen for Pote. I was a bit surprised. Initially, I thought it was $10 million. Then when I had to really look at the graphic, I saw that it was $30 million. I'm surprised Pote hasn't been sold yet, but obviously if Sporting isn't accepting that offer, and by the way, it would be a big blow to them to lose him. But be curious to see if a club comes along with 35 plus 5, whether or not Sporting would sell. I mean, I know they already sold Ugarte for good money. Supposedly, there wouldn't be any big moves. But you know what? Somebody then comes along and says, how about 40? Money talks in Portugal, whether you agree with it or not. The Danish player, Højlund, with Lecce. As I drop this episode, okay, recording it early Friday morning this week, there's been no deal yet. Apparently, salary is what needs to be fixed. He wants money. Sporting is not generally not known for high salaries. We'll see if they get him. I think eventually there's going to be a deal. I think he would like the idea of playing in Sporting and competing for titles, and also putting himself in the position to compete in the Champions League. It's hard for him in Italy right now with Lecce to do that. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be solved. We saw Gonçalo Inácio look for the rumors to pick up with Liverpool. We'll see if that happens. Shermiti, it does look like he's going to be going to Everton. There's some issues with his visa that's got to be worked out. There was a thing that ran on social media with both a lot of Everton accounts and a lot of unofficial Sporting accounts, where there was a photo that a lot of people thought it was Shermiti at the airport. And I'm glad that I didn't report that one, because it looked like he was dressed for October, and so was, you know, from what I saw. I mean, it didn't look to me like, you know, someone was dressed in the middle of the summer. But apparently he never left Portugal, according to some of the newspapers. Again, believe it if you want. But as I record this episode and drop this episode, he still has not become official. But all accounts say that he will be going to Everton. Again, I'm surprised. I mean, you know, I think he could bring in $40 million in the future if he has another good year. But again, it looks like that's got to be for financial reasons. And interesting note this week that I was surprised, and that is that Sporting sold their game boxes, sort of like their season ticket packages. I was very surprised to hear that that, you know, a club of their size hasn't sold out before. Maybe there's an explanation to it, but you know, so far I have not heard it. Porto. Rumors with Bayern interested in Diego Costa to help replace one of their greater goalkeepers at Bayern. Again, we'll see. Remember, Diego Costa was linked up so much with United, and obviously that never happened. Bayern would be a great opportunity for him. A lot of people didn't like the first goal that Costa gave up to Benfica. Still a great goalkeeper, one of the best young ones in the world. Is he one of the best in the world? I don't know at this point. But certainly one of the best young ones in the world that's up and coming, and I can see him doing well at Bayern. Tereme, AC Milan, now there's Inter interest. There's talk of $30 million is what it's going to cost, but I think Inter came up with like 24, 25. If Tereme leaves, that probably gives Porto the money to help get Ivan Jaime a familiar gong in terms of bringing another player that could score. I don't think they're the same position. But I think Tereme, for as successful he has been with Porto and as consistently as he's been, I know a lot of people talk about the PKs, but remember, you got to score the PKs too, and he's been successful at it. It'd be curious to see what's going to happen with Tereme, because if he leaves, I think that would be a very big hole. I just don't know if what Porto has enough is enough. They need to bring in a little bit more firepower. We also saw Conceição, of course, sent off in the Super Cup. I think that's his 25th time being sent off in Portugal. I think last week or 2 weeks ago, I had read it was like 30-something, so I'm not really sure what's true. But Sergio Conceição making a lot of news in Portugal, being sent off after they appealed the suspension. He was supposed to be suspended for 30 days, and now he's likely obviously going to be getting another type of suspension. And again, if you're Conceição and you're this frustrated, I would have thought by now he would have left for some opportunities in Italy, which I know he adores. You have to wonder what's going to happen with him and his future and the frustration. Benfica, obviously they signed on Thursday the goalkeeper from Shakhtar Trubin. And they also signed Arthur from Fiorentina, who was last season's, as you know by now, Europa Conference leading scorer. Not a lot of Benfica fans are happy with this pickup, believe it or not. They seem to like all the other ones. But a lot of people think he might be the biggest disappointment signing that Benfica will have. So we'll see if he's true. But the guy could score. The question is he going to do it in Estádio da Luz? So we'll see. And, of course, I've already spoken enough about Benfica. They win the trophy, the Super Cup. Big match this weekend at Boa Vista. So it gets very interesting. A woman's note, Estrela Adamadora is going to be starting a women's team. Again, this is big news for Portugal after the great World Cup performance. The year of firsts in Portugal. First this, first that, first World Cup qualification, first World Cup goal. It's good to see clubs in Portugal starting to pay attention more to the woman. My hometown club, Athletic Luz Arcos, has even started a young women's team. You know, they're trying to find local talent. So I'm really glad to see that that's finally happening with the woman in Portugal, deservedly so. And I think that's great. Moving on here to the end of this episode, I want to talk about viewer comments. And I want to start off first, Neil Fernandez. Neil, of course, is in Portugal. He has told me in the past he's from Caldas da Rainha. And I want to read to you a great DM he sent to me. He said, "Good morning, John. I took your advice and saw some local soccer here during my stay in Caldas da Rainha as they drew Club Atlético 3-3. Our tickets were €4 each, and the game had all sorts of excitement from penalty kicks to offside goals to the fans heckling the players. There are plenty of beer stands and food options. I was bummed out not being able to get tickets for the Super Cup, the Supertaça, but this was a great experience. I highly recommend anyone to go watch Caldas at the Campo da Mata. That is a stadium that is literally built inside a forest. Absolutely beautiful." Neil, thank you so much for your DM, and it sounds like you had a great time in Lagoon. If you're in Portugal, You don't have an opportunity. And by the way, the tickets for the big clubs like this weekend at Moreirense and Boavista are going to be practically sold out. If you're in Lisbon, I'm not sure if Sporting's going to sell out 40,000, but they're going to come close to it. That might be a minor opportunity. But generally speaking, you've got to go see other football because it's going to be hard. And remember, this is August. A lot of immigrants are there. He's done what I've been saying for a long time. And go see your local club play, or at least go see local football. The prices are cheap. The foods are just as cheap. It's a great way to support your local club. It's a great way to support local players that are trying to make their dreams come true at that level. And man, you can have a good time. It's probably cheaper to go watch a game and eat there than it would be sometimes to go to a restaurant. And you got to watch football, soccer. What more do you have going? So, Neil, thank you so much. Another comment that I wanted to bring up was somebody on YouTube. I didn't get your name. Feel free next time to tell me it. But it was a gentleman with Logic in his username. He also is somebody with ties to Torres Vedras with his family. And he wanted to give me a shout out. And in fact, let me see if I can find his comments right here as I talk to you. I found your podcast on Spotify a couple of days ago. Great content. My family is originally from Torres Vedras also. And Turians is my second favorite team. There you go, buddy. The other day on Twitter, I put out some questions. And I want to read to you some of the answers I got. Basically, your 2023-24 Liga predictions. I asked for most valuable player, most improved player, best new signing, biggest signing disappointment, best young player, and predicting the top four. And I got a whole bunch of comments that I wanted to read out, give you guys all a shout out. Aussie Benfica, most valuable player, Di Maria, most improved, Marcus Edwards, best signing, Goyerkers, the Swedish striker for Sporting, biggest disappointment, Jurisic of Benfica, best young player, Morato, that's a good one. And he predicts Benfica, according to him, the usual, Benfica, Sporting, Braga, Porto. Surprise team, he says, will be Familiar Gong. Jack Hacken, welcome back. MVP, Alan Varela. Ooh, interesting. Although I think when I record this, he hasn't signed yet. So you got confidence there. Good job. Most improved, Romario Baro. That's interesting. Best new signing, Navarro. That's a good one. Biggest disappointment, another one, David Jurisic. Best young player, Finn Dickey. Predicting top four places, Porto. Benfica, Sporting, Braga, and your promoted teams are Belenenses, Leixões, and Tundela. Michael FCP, most valuable, Octavio, most improved, Danny Namaso, best signing, Alan Varela. Biggest signing disappointment, Arthur. There's one of those fans saying Arthur. Best young player, Gonçalo Borges of Porto, and he predicts Porto, Sporting, Benfica, and Braga. Nick Santos, MVP, Angel Di Maria, most improved, Trincão. He had a good year last year, but I can see that. Best new signing. Yeah, this is a good one, Navarro. Biggest signing disappointment, Nico Gonzalez of Porto. Best young player, João Neves, and he predicts Benfica, Porto, Braga, Sporting. Gamal, most valuable, Otávio. Most improved, Bruma. Best new signing, Varela. Biggest signing disappointment, Cachu. Best young player, João Neves, and he predicts Porto, Benfica, Sporting, and Braga. Crispy Chris, hello. Most valuable player, Fran Navarro. Most improved, Pep, the winger from Porto. Best new signing, Nico Gonzalez. Biggest disappointment, Jurisic. Best young players, João Neves. Predicting Porto, Benfica, Sporting, and Braga. Drew Da Costa, Angel Di Maria for MVP. Most improved, David Carmo. Boy, he would love that if he could improve David Carmo. José Font, best new signing. Biggest disappointment, he says Navarro. Oof. Best young player, Enrique Raj. You know, this is a good one because I think he's got a chance to show his stuff at Familiar Gong. And Drew is predicting Benfica, Sporting, Porto, and Braga. He's predicting those in the orders. Got a few more here. Benfiquista Americano, what's up, buddy? Most valuable player, he's got Cochu. Most improved, Trincão. Best new signing, Salazar of Braga. Biggest signing disappointment, Goyerkers. Best young player, Schilderup. He predicts Benfica, Porto, Braga, and Sporting. Let me see. Paul Sergio, most valuable. Cochu, most improved. Andreas Schilderup, best new signing. Trubin, biggest signing disappointment. Another one, Arthur. Best young player, João Neves. And he predicts Porto, Braga, Benfica, Sporting. And the last one I'm going to do here is Kiko. How are you, buddy? Most valuable, Pote. Most improved, David Carmo. But I can see that. Best new signing, Goyerkers. Biggest disappointment, another one, Arthur. Best young player, João Neves, dominating that category, and he's predicting Benfica, Sporting, Porto, and Braga. So these are some of the comments that I received last week. And again, I want to thank you all for contributing. Let me wrap up this episode like I always do, talking about my favorite team in Portugal, and that is, of course, Atlético dos Arcos. First off, number one, I'm very proud to announce that episode 184, I'll be able to record in Arcos de Valdevez. I'm going to be in Portugal next week. This came together very fast. I'm only going for a week. Usually I go for 2 weeks. This year I couldn't do 2 weeks. One, because of some family reasons, and I got other things that I've got to do in Portugal, and then eventually I will have some time to enjoy the food. And I'm not planning right now on going to a big match, although I may be in Porto the night that Boa Vista plays Benfica, but I know it's not going to be easy to get into that. But I may be in Arcos, and I'm going to check them out training. And if you've been following this podcast, you know one of my things is to see them play in a real match. I heard they may be doing a preseason match. And if I'm there, I want to see a match played in Estádio da Cortada. So fingers crossed that I can try to pull that off. But next week's episode will be recorded live in Portugal. The very first episode I ever recorded for this podcast was in Portugal. And episode 184 will get that same privilege. So next week, I've got to figure out how to work it out. And, you know, we're not necessarily going to be able to bring my laptops to put together an episode. So it might be a rough episode. I know some people lose sleep when they don't like the quality and that stuff. But I'm going to do my best. But thank you. And like I said, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening this long. And again, I just want to say thank you, and I look forward to doing this again next week live from Portugal, and I'll tell you a little bit about my experiences there. So, folks, we're going to wrap up episode 183. As always, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. Enjoy the first match day of the season this weekend. Go see a match if you're in Portugal, even if it's a small club. And I'll talk to you next week, everybody. Ciao.